introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another daily deep dive here on the Introspective Podcast. And today it is story time. We are going to talk about storytelling in business and sales and marketing. The power of story can be unreal and how it can just completely transform your business. I got started really learning about story when I was first exposed to it was through a book called Story Brand by Donald Miller, which was an amazing book. I encourage anybody to go read it. And then, later on, I think it was last year, right before all the craziness happened with the pandemic, I was at Funnel Hacking Live and I had met a few people. And then I got later connected with a gentleman by the name of Chris Cunningham, who has just completely mastered the art of storytelling, but specifically as it applies to film and screenwriting and directing and like how you can use this in your business. So I'm going to give an introduction to Chris and then we're going to bring him onto the show and we're going to talk about video marketing and storytelling and kind of how all this really ties in together. So Chris completed his MA at Regent University in 2002 with a concentration on film directing and screenwriting. He has nearly 20 years experience in the film and television industry as a producer, director, screenwriter, and actor. He's worked as primary producer and writer of more than 40 nationally televised documentaries that were viewed on a global scale. In 2007, Cunningham founded a production company that produced, shot, marketed, and distributed over 100 films, selling nearly 800,000 downloadable versions that garnered an estimated viewership of 20 million plus. Cunningham completed several features, screenplays, The Vetting, Paper Wings, Vacant House, and Squat. Vacant House, produced and co-written by Chris on a micro budget of $7,000, screened at Festival de Cannes, despite having a minimal budget and no star power. In 2019, Chris produced and finished two documentaries on human trafficking in America and the crisis of affordable housing. And in 2020, Squat, a sci-fi comedy, was produced and is currently in post-production. Amidst all of this, Chris Cunningham founded Video Marketing Unleashed, where he helps businesses and entrepreneurs tell the story of their product, brand, or service through the power of online video. Without further ado, I welcome to the show, Chris Cunningham. Chris, how are you doing today?
What is up, Jake? Good to see you, man.
Yeah, man, this is awesome. I'm glad we're able to, I feel like we've known each other for about a year. I know, you know what? I met you at Funnel Hacking Live. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was a very brief introduction and Josh Brown had introduced us. And because Josh was like, dude, this guy's like an award-winning like filmmaker. Like if you ever need to like talk video with somebody, Chris is your guy. And then we end up connecting online through Facebook. And then I got into your program, Video Marketing Unleashed. And it's been incredible just seeing what you've been able to do to help people with video.
Yeah, man. Thanks. You're one of those guys I like to keep in contact with because we're kindred spirits, like a serial entrepreneurs on fire to help other entrepreneurs. That kind of like, I think of this whole entrepreneurship game as like, I look back in time and there's people who put, somebody put a man on the moon and then somebody busts a hole through a mountain and then, shoves a steam engine through it. And then there's people curing diseases. And these are people who are dreamers, knocking things out of the park. Well, I don't see how entrepreneurs are any different. They're solving the problems of the world, dreaming and inventing. And it's just exciting to be part of something like marketing, helping other businesses showcase what it is that they do using the most, for me, it's the most dominant, influential marketing tool. In fact, the most dominant, influential communicative force ever known to mankind, this whole thing called video.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the thing I love about video is, especially online, because I know online, and this was my first thought when I first got started online, was really looking at the exchange of energy, right? Within somebody's pieces, like within a piece of content that somebody would put out. And, you know, you got text, you got the emojis, you got the little, you know, the memes or whatever. And, right. and that has its purpose, but like video adds so many different dimensions to how you can communicate a message that's unlike anything else, you know? Yeah. So, but the thing about it is, and I think this is where people may get a little bit hung up. A lot of times you'll hear me say this, I can only really speak to myself because I know where I've been hung up with it, but that is in like figuring out exactly like how to craft like the actual video in a way. Like you get stuck. It's like, okay, I need to say some things for the video, or I need to speak to a message in the video, but I'm not really sure what to say or how to say or how to approach it or how to structure out a script. But I know storytelling is something that you've just mastered. So I want to start with that, like with storytelling and how you pull that into the methodology that you use for video creation.
So, I mean, it's all encompassing. It is the umbrella over the entire thing for me. And I won't get into all the details of that because it would be too thick and dense to do right here and now. But I like to talk about this whole storytelling thing and this whole video thing. I merged them together by simply asking, like, why? Like, why does this topic even matter? Because, and I think you started to hint at it, that one of the biggest struggles is like, what do I say and how do I say it? But at the end of the day, who freaking cares about all this? Because we're talking about business, right? And that's where it goes right into the direct topic that I care about. It's traffic and conversions, period. And I love telling stories, but yes, as a business owner, I have to have traffic and I have to have conversions, period. So as a business owner, or as a personal brand, like you and me, we have personal brands. You already know that the biggest thing that's going to cause people to buy from you is connection. And if they don't feel a connection with you, and not just a little measly connection, they have to feel a deep connection. If they don't feel that, they just won't want to work with you. They don't even, in fact, statistically, people won't even enter into a conversation with someone until they're 57% into the buyer cycle. So with video and storytelling, you get to insert yourself into that early sacred space that people are longing to be in as a business owner, right? But there's a lot of stats and a lot of details I just wouldn't want to really dive into right now that prove exactly what I'm talking about. But I'll just say it this way, that human to human connections, they are the heart and they are the soul of all businesses. And what's the key to unlock that connection? You got it. Storytelling, period. Like here's what's even more magical to me about all this stuff. Yes, there's statistics that talk about this, and yes, we can get into video marketing stats, but when you start putting yourself out there using story, especially when you put it into video, now I'm not disregarding things like email and social posts and things like that, because a story is really awesome in those as well. But when you do it right, sure, you can get more traffic. Sure, you can get more shares and likes and people, you know, especially with story, people start liking it. And yeah, you can grow your business faster, but there's this way deeper layer that story does. This thing perks me more than anything. And I get more excited about this than any other of all that other stuff combined. And it's this, when someone hears your story and you are authentic, and when you tell that story right, with the right framework, there's all this strange kinesthetic stuff and connections that synapse. We don't even, I'm too stupid to know what all that stuff is, but I like to call this the Obi-Wan Kenobi effect. Some people actually call it the celebrity effect, but when someone puts all of their attention on you, especially in video, because there's more to it with video, because like you just mentioned, it has the, you know, it's more like a relationship than anything else. But let's say it is video or a podcast or even an email, right? Even if it's only like a short thing, like a 2 or 3 minute video or 2 or 3 minute podcast thing that you did, there's this effect that you become the authority and the viewer begins to look up to you. Again, there is a specific framework. And I think that, you know, you have to understand how these stories connect to your calls to action, things like that. But this rapport and relationship that's forged through the power of sharing your story, you can't put a price tag on it because it sticks. And in business, we're all about branding. We're looking for things that stick. They say 7 impressions to make a brand. I say bull crap, 1 impression to make a brand. You tell the right story and you make your impression.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
And that amount of trust that they put in you, so that when you make an offer to that audience, that old cliche, it's literally like the know, like, and trust factor. Yeah, it's a cliche, but yeah, it's darn true. They buy based on the relationship. I don't care if your story's messy. I don't care if you have us and ands and you're talking. Like, if your story's powerful and you do it in the right way with the right call to action, you insert the right story for that right call to action, then pow, it's just, it sticks. There is no seven impressions to make a brand. It's one story to make a brand.
That's a quotable line right there. Cause I,
I've never said it before.
Yeah. I mean, I think my hair, I think the hair on my arm just stood up in the air on that one. That was powerful. And it's, yeah. And I've heard the whole, it takes seven touches to be able to create a customer, you know, in marketing. And I've had the same thought process in terms of, you know, thinking about like, I don't necessarily want, like, if I'm going to touch somebody with my message, right? If it's a touch point and I touch somebody with that message, I want to, you know, make that touch point as impactful as I possibly can, because the more you can reduce those touch points down to that one, it's one story, as you would say, that is how you, like, I mean, think about the benefits of that. I mean, think about how much your marketing costs are going to go down. Think about how much traction you're going to get just in your marketing and sales. Everything's going to become far more, is going to grow at a much rapid rate. So it almost seems like story when it comes to, I think it goes beyond marketing. I think even in the sales process as well, as you're selling things, even if it's something where you're on a call with somebody and you wrap story into that sales process, I think it just creates a stronger connection and makes people feel more connected. So now, you talk about a framework, right? You say that there's a framework to storytelling. Mm-hmm. What is this framework? Like, what's the thing? Like, what is the framework that people need to be thinking about here?
I think it's important to note, like, my belief system is that, like, when you ask that question, I want to be very careful not to pretend that there's not other ways to do things, right? So in other words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and said, Chris's story framework is the way everyone should do this, right? So I don't believe that. But I do, you know, I would like to, before I expose kind of that framework, I wouldn't mind sharing with you how I invented this thing. This is 100% homegrown, and I stumbled into this darn thing. But I will say, like, and this will show you kind of what happened with this framework, if you don't mind. And it's literally a story. Do you mind if I share that?
Okay, go into this.
Okay, so just a forewarning, it's really a strange story, kind of sad at certain points, but it's what life gave me. And if I had to title it, I'd say something like, this is all about how a newbie marketer with zero experience built an 8-figure video marketing strategy using the power of story and helped save the lives of thousands of kids. Be something like that.
Pretty powerful.
Thanks. So give you some context. First of all, I was an actor and I went to grad school, hated this program. And I wound up swapping majors. I was either that or take my kids and my family and leave grad school. And I couldn't do that to them because we had just hauled across the country. But I entered the film program under the directing category, but I geeked out suddenly. Like, I started losing my mind over story and story structure for movies, motion pictures, just totally geeked out over it. It's important to note, like, I didn't even pick up a camera in film school because I was so in tune with this, like, screenwriting and story structure. So I just focused on that. Became this guy, this total geek who would sit down and watch movies with spreadsheets open. And I would chart out the, like, character arcs and the journeys and the plot points and literally have this just spreadsheet after spreadsheet. And I would focus on the top grossing films of all time. I wanted to know what made them work and what was going on with them. And when I graduated, these spreadsheets were 1,000% worthless to me because I wound up jobless. You know, I'm armed with everything I need, some spreadsheets and a love of story. And I got these two kids. We end up on government housing and food stamps, all this stuff. Super critical. I just want to show you the journey, like where I started and then where I end up. 6 months, no job. And finally, I get this weird, a professor calls me up, I'm bugging everybody, asking for help, you know, get this weird job opportunity that comes up as this producer slash, it was like for a television show slash cinematographer slash marketing gig. It would fundraise for building orphanages and feeding malnourished children, things like this. The fact of the matter, I wasn't any of those things. I wasn't a producer or cinematographer, and I wasn't a marketer. I had no clue. Like, I wasn't any of that stuff. I was a jobless actor that loved story. Nonetheless, sold the crap out of myself because I had to. There I am with two kids, right? Got to do what I got to do. And I landed the gig I shouldn't have landed. I was totally unqualified, you know, so I thought, I guess. Here's the deal. Here's the skinny of that story. A lot of travel. My first day, I was transported on this beat the crap dump truck into the mountainous regions of Haiti. So this was, I'd leave the country kind of a job. And I remember sitting there with the cameras, a big old honking camera, trying to figure out the buttons because I didn't know anything about that. And we end up at this makeshift medical clinic. It was about 4 to 6 hours into the mountains, and there is nothing in this. I mean, it's just mountains and naked kids running around everywhere. And we weren't there long before this little boy was brought to us. And this kid was like 4 or 5 years old. And my kid's age, actually. And it was just frightening. He was, you've seen the images, but in person, if you haven't seen in person, the TV never does it justice, but he was so malnourished that his head was, it was just too big for his little body. And the best description I've ever said, what I remember is he looked like an alive baby skeleton. Just so skinny. I couldn't fathom what I was seeing. I was staring death, just looking death in the eyes. There's no way that kid lived beyond a day. There's just no way. Like, I was looking at a kid that was dying, and there I am with this big old honking camera on my shoulder. I barely know how to use the damn thing. And I just remember thinking, like, what have I done? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not qualified. I'm holy smokes. Like, I'm responsible literally to film these television programs that fundraise for dying kids. Like, what am I doing? I'm an actor. like that's it. I love story. So there's a moment though, where the rubber meets the damn road, when you're looking at a dying kid and you got to make a choice. And my choice was, when I saw what I saw, there's not a chance I'm failing. I will give my own life to make this work. Right. But how, seriously, I'm this actor. That's it. I had no clue. What am I going to do? Take out my spreadsheets, save some kids. Yeah, you're not, Jake, I see you nodding there. I don't know if your podcasters can, but yeah, that is exactly what I did. I broke out my stupid spreadsheets. Remember, I studied story structure on Hollywood films that made billions and billions of dollars that are rooted in an ancient story structure technique that's withstood the test of time. So I'm starting to ask weird things. I knew if I could crack that code and turn it into a marketing thing for these stories, right? These stories that I'm seeing. So I start asking weird questions like, who's the Darth Vader in the story? Who's the Obi-Wan Kenobi? But for me, the most important question, there was one question that topped all the questions because I couldn't figure it out. Who's the hero in these marketing documentaries, if we can call them that, right? Mm-hmm. And that might seem like a really silly question for most people, but for me, I knew that was the key to something. If I could crack that code, like I said, I could take this incredibly powerful ancient story structure technique and I could use it to save lives. Like, literally, I can make a difference on this planet. And for literally, I was there for 2 weeks. That question, I could not figure out who the hero was. Was I the hero? Was the organization? Was it the people that we were helping? Who's the hero of that story? And I remember flying home from Haiti and going, wait a minute, just this light bulb just snapped. I was journaling and I remember going, wait, I've been missing. Like, I missed one key character. You already know the answer to this because Donald Miller has come up with kind of a similar concept to this whole thing. But the hero I decided wasn't me. It wasn't that organization. It wasn't those people, the third world country. The hero I decided and I figured would be the viewer. What if the viewer was the hero of this story? And suddenly, when I reckoned with that thing, everything started to fall in place. Like, literally, I could take my spreadsheet. I knew who Darth Vader was. I knew the plot points that had to happen. I not only that, it would help me, how do I say this without giving away too much, help me position the organization in a place that not. They had been positioning themselves in the hero role. But what if I could position them as the mentor or the guide? I'll just go ahead and say it. And they had a magical solution. Like, all the stuff that you hear, like the magical sword and all this stuff in story structure, it all began to make sense. So I just had this massive blueprint, not even massive. It was literally like 9 steps, like a 9-step blueprint of how to apply story into this world of marketing. And, you know, when we applied this thing, let me just fast forward a little bit. What happened was just magic. And I say that because the proof is in the pudding. It just worked, right? Strangely, those spreadsheets that couldn't find me a job became this amazing solution because that first episode that we released, the very first one, you got to remember, I'm no cinematographer. The person that was a producer before me, his stuff was magical looking. Mine sucked. Mine looked like a home video. Regardless, it was the record-breaking program, financially speaking. It broke, it smashed records that they had never had just by applying story. Their video quality sucked because I was terrible. The story is what exploded it on. And whenever I say exploded, when I arrived, they plateaued their fundraising efforts for 5 years straight, $2 million per year. When I left 2 years later, they were at $2 million every 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we 5X'd their organization. I'm from Podunk, Indiana, man. I was an actor that went to school, and this weird, homegrown, strange thing, because of my love of plotting out spreadsheets full of story, turned into this weird marketing magic for me. And I didn't read a marketing book. I'd never picked up anything. All I knew was how to write a screenplay, and I don't even know if I'm good at it. And I took this thing and I put it into a marketing plan, 5X their revenue. And I'd love to share that framework in a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. If you don't, can I geek out on one more? I just geeked out a lot. And I just spoke a lot. I want to say one more thing about that. The magic of this whole plan for me, and why it made so much dang sense, was by positioning the viewer as the hero, it forced me to position the organization in a different role. And most businesses don't do this. I position them as the mentor or the guide. And what I mean by that, well, there's a hero in every business's story, and it's always the viewer. It's always the consumer in my ecosystem or my ecosphere or my story sphere or whatever you want to say. But if you position yourself as the listener's Obi-Wan Kenobi or their Morpheus or their Gandalf, whatever your flavor is, right? Most story structure gurus, they call this character in motion pictures, the mentor or the guide. Ultimately, you then can look at your solution as magical. It's the lightsaber that you're going to teach Luke how to use. So you now have positioned yourself in an authoritative role, as opposed to the person who is trying to be the hero. Look, if we build these orphanages, we're going to use this kind of brick, and you start talking about the kind of cement and we're going to pull the block off the mountain, and we're going to do this. And that's what they were talking about whenever I arrived. Literally, the hero role positions you as the person who's scraping things together and trying to do this thing, right? But if you position yourself as an authority, you're handing a magical solution to the person who has the problem and the pain point. Luke has the pain point.
Right.
He's the one suffering. And you know what I mean? And he's given the magical sword and taught how to use it. I'm not saying that the mentor or the guide doesn't suffer as well, because they do. That's what a good, authentic, vulnerable mentor does, that they'll inherit the problem as well. And they give the gift to the other person to be able to solve that problem. So I just love geeking out on that stuff, because it makes your message build with passion and authority and trust, and you're in service as opposed to like trying to just make money.
Can I say one thing? Because I want to get to this framework, but there's one thing that, as you're telling the story, which, by the way, thank you for sharing that. It was very touching, very beautiful story. And I think that looking at that as an example for how you can position storytelling to create more traction and impact in whatever it is you're doing is a really perfect example of that. But as you're telling this, because and I'm familiar with your framework, and I understand, like, you have the hero, and a lot of businesses, they make that mistake, right? They try to position themselves as the hero versus the person that they're trying to reach to buy or provide the resource. So one of the things that kind of hit me, and I don't know if this ever crossed your mind or not during this experience, but when you're especially something like, you're in Haiti and you're looking at this child and you know they're on the verge of death, and you want to do everything you can to help them, but you know that there's so many other children that are in that same position, and that you, as one, it's not enough to be able to really help all these children. You need more of that support. You need more heroes, right? So I would think, and even the same thing with like an actual organization or a company, they're very limited in terms of like you have, like the real heroes are the people who are pulling in. It's the customers. It's like everybody, the $2 million every 10 months, that didn't come from the organization. That came from the people. Those were the heroes. Those were the people right. that were actually bringing in the money to be able to create the solutions. And the business is nothing more than just facilitating it all and yeah. guiding it and providing those solutions. So I almost feel like as you were telling, that was a little bit of a shift that I had in my own mind is yeah. I was thinking about, you know, there's only one real hero in this whole story. And that's the person who is donating the money to helping these children. And we have to position this in a way to make them feel like that they're the ones who are going to be the hero. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in there because it was
well, that you beg the question that I bet your audience, if they're entrepreneurs and personal brands like us, they're going, wait, but how does that apply to me? Right. Because yeah. I'm not a nonprofit. I'm not trying to get people to donate and become a hero. But when you have some, my first business I launched, I'll give you one quick example. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but my first business, I had this thought that we could create digital assets. I didn't want to have shippable products. This is the very first, never started a business before. And the idea I had was to create downloadable bulletins for small churches, because I thought that small churches who wanted to be relevant in a tech savvy world would need, they like, if they want to be like, have good looking graphics, they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So my thought was, wow, that could be a big problem. So there's your Darth Vader to the hero who is the church who needs graphics and cool things, right? To go on their PowerPoint slides because they're trying to be tech savvy. So it doesn't have to be that we're saving babies' lives. It could be you're trying to provide a downloadable printable asset that they it would help them look cooler. Like, so their problem could be something as simple as that. It could be a bar of soap we're talking about. Regardless of what your business or your industry or your nonprofit, whatever it is, if you position your viewer as the one with pain points. Now, the pain point, interestingly, in a nonprofit is born through the story that you tell, because when you tell a story of an alive baby skeleton, they're inheriting a problem that's global, right? Mm-hmm. So that's different than what we're talking about when we're talking about businesses. Nonetheless, the framework is identical for the nonprofit as it is for the for-profit.
Mm. Yeah.
Different things slot into it, you know?
Yeah. And I love that example that you gave with your other business that you had, and it helps. I think that really helps put it into context with people, because I'm sure that thought's going through their head. It's like, yeah, I get that. That makes sense. But how does this apply for, you know, over here selling water bottles?
It'll make sense when I share the framework. Do you want me to dive into that? First of all, let's just look at what this is about. Like this framework, this story-centric story selling framework, I call it the perfect story selling framework. So it's designed essentially that, have you heard the phrase hero's journey before?
Yeah.
So this is, we're going to replace that word with buyer's journey. That way we can kind of feel this out as we go. But this framework, it can be used for email. It can be used for blog posts. It can be for social media, for your podcast. I don't care what your business. If you are providing a solution to a problem, this framework works, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've dealt with every category, whether it's, you know, for-profit, nonprofit, whether it's for a Shopify store, whether it's for digital assets. It can be for a service provider, local service providers, whatever it is. If you're solving a problem, this framework works. So first of all, I'm going to say, let's just do kind of an overview of story structure for movies. And that way, these are the 9 steps, actually, and it's going to be really succinct, and then we'll expand it out. And I won't tell you like 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll just kind of read it to you here. I have it right on my screen. But first, you have a hero, think Frodo, right? Or, you know, something like that, and who encounters an evil adversary or a challenging problem. So we're just dropping this into cinematic language. Mm-hmm. And that hero is called to take action, but is afraid. So again, if we go back to Frodo, he never left a Shire before. And so when he does go out on his journey, he's taking a step out of the Shire for the first time. They meet a wise mentor who understands their pain and fear, not necessarily in that order. Of course, Gandalf is the one who came to Frodo, right? They provide a magical plan to conquer the problem, which ultimately propels that hero to take action. And that action leads to a showdown, like the old West. This town ain't big enough for the two of us, which ends in either decisive victory and reward or tragic failure and loss. In that little paragraph I just read, there's 9 bullet points. So we'll break that apart really quick here so that you can understand what the heck, how this all applies in business or nonprofit, whatever it is. So step 1 and 2 of the framework, I like to call this, check this out. This is where it all makes sense with what we were just saying. I call this section like these two pieces, launch with the villain, because in motion pictures, a hero, again, we're back to that motion picture language, a hero always encounters an evil adversary or challenging problem. Now, when I was geeking out in film school, over story structure, I realized a weird pattern that I've never heard before. But here it is, a high percentage of top grossing films of all time, like these are the biggest of the big, they launched with the villain. Perfect example, the original Star Wars, what happens first? Leia's been kidnapped and she's been kidnapped by the villain, right? And if you think of Lion King, when I watch that with my kids, the first character to speak is Scar. It's the bad guy. That's a real bad spoiler alert, although you know it's the bad guy right away. So it's not really a spoiler alert. But what that meant in the third world country would be that we would launch with the problem, or like the problems that we were encountering. It might be the story of an orphan child. It might be the story of a malnourished, family who desperately needs support. But let's bring this to a business though. Let's say you're a bankruptcy attorney and your hero is under the threat of bankruptcy, right? So again, your hero is the viewer. You might start a video script by saying something like, are you overwhelmed by the threat of bankruptcy? And you're under a constant barrage of phone calls from your creditors. You might say something, are you sick? I like to deal with the emotion too. Are you sick with worry that you might lose your home and everything you own? Right. So so we've launched with a villain and we've introduced the hero indirectly by talking about them. So you got to remember, like, that's the hard separation sometimes in this, but if you can just get your mind around, you're talking to the hero and they're included in that statement. So again, there's a lot of twisting and weaving with what I just did there, but it still works. Right. So that's the first and second step. You're introducing a hero and the adversary or the challenging problem. Right. So that, and that also identifies with the hero, because you're also letting them know they're in the right place at the right time. If I said, hey, is your barn falling apart? And you go, I don't own a barn. I'm out of here. Boom. They didn't waste my time or yours. If you had a barn that's falling apart, you're stopped. You're stopped cold in your track. Like, I don't know why I came up with that one, but that's what I don't know whose barn's falling apart or whether that would matter. So the third and fourth step, I'm kind of funneling through this a little bit. In motion pictures, it's when the hero is called, they're always called to deal with the problem, but they're afraid. That's so key. I'll go ahead and finish that out. They meet a wise mentor who understands that pain and fear. They are afraid, and the mentor does what? They understand their pain and fear. So Luke meets Yoda, Frodo meets Gandalf, things like this. This is me in my weird, twisted way in Haiti figuring all this stuff out. My synapses were on fire to solve this thing. But I want to mention that most business owners, they don't understand this, what I just said. They don't get that your customers external, they do get it, but they don't know how to apply it, right? They know that the external problem, my roof is effing leaking and it has been over the weekend and I couldn't get in touch with anybody. I'm frustrated because is there going to be mold in my house, right? So it leads to an internal pain. Mm-hmm. And by being this vulnerable mentor who understands that external challenge causes an internal pain, if they understand that you understand them, it leads to the know, like, and trust factor. It's such a weird intuitive thing. But whenever I say, Jake, man, I know like that you're afraid to go on camera since my business is all video related, I get, and I'm not saying you are, I don't think you are, but if I knew that's what was going on, man, I get it, man. When I was in grad school, we had this speech class the first day they just did an impromptu speech. And the only thing I remember was my head was shaking so bad it was going to fall off. But I also remember how stupid I felt afterwards. I have no idea what I said during that speech. So I get that this fear of public speaking, fear of going on camera, they kind of go together and it's the biggest fear on the planet. So now that you understand, I understand you, there's a rapport that can be built, you know? So that's part of that. But if we were revisiting that bankruptcy attorney, you know, how do we address that? That the hero must take action to deal with the problem, but they're afraid. We might say something like, listen, it's only natural to feel frustration and concern or anxiety about one word or the other, something like that, about financial struggles, but worrying about your home, that's going to put you under even more stress that you already feel. And the threat of bankruptcy is just not something you want to take lightly, and you're going to need special legal assistance. So we're handholding them, and it's starting to introduce without having introduced myself yet, right? As the mentor or the guide. But then that is about when you give them that little opportunity and you're saying, I understand you. And what you need now is this thing that I'm going to share with you. That's actually what I do. And so I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. I'm just kind of making this up, but we might say something. Hey, I'm Jake Smith, and I'm a specialist bankruptcy attorney. And over the past X amount of years, 12 years, it's been my greatest passion to have guided hundreds of people just like you through this bankruptcy process for a fresh start. Because I would think like something like a fresh start would be good for somebody because they're trapped in this thing, right? I would use language that would help us go that way. But that's the third and fourth step. The hero meets a wise mentor that understands their pain and fear. And then for the fifth step, the hero meets that wise and understanding mentor who provides the magical plan to conquer the problem. And this is like, I guess with this weird bankruptcy attorney, I'm talking about like a really short, fast script, like a 60-second sales video, right? Because I'm just doing one or two sentences for each section, but I'm showing you how that would apply. But for us in that third world country, what that meant to demonstrate that magical solution, we would show how the medical clinic helps save the sick or how the orphanage provides a home. Really simple stuff, demonstrating why our solution is magical. This kid is going to die or he's not going to have a home. And this solution over here, I mean, it's really straightforward, right? Very, very simple. The key here when writing a script or an email or a blog post is to introduce your magical plan. You got to have that. I think if you can figure out how to make this thing magical so that external problem that they have is solved, you do this by helping the hero literally visualize how it's going to, you know, that how it solves the future, the problem in the future. So an orphanage being built solves the homeless, right? That's really an easy example. I guess for the attorney, he or she might say, you know, in many cases, this has got to be true. You can't just make this stuff up. But if in many cases with the people that we deal with or that we've helped, we've navigated we've negotiated with your hard-nosed creditors and help people avoid bankruptcy altogether. You know what I mean? Like some kind of, so the idea is avoidance. We're avoiding the bankruptcy issue and we'll navigate and negotiate that for you. Cause we know, you know, if somebody's going through bankruptcy, they're being called every day. And that's almost like the shame that somebody could feel like, but then you might say something like with that handled, it's always about the emotions because people buy emotionally too. With that handled, you can stop living in fear of losing everything you own and get your financial situation back in order and in control. And you can start enjoying your friends and family and your life again, because that's what you're starting to lose in that too. You feel like you're losing those things in a bankruptcy circumstance. I haven't gone through it, but I can only imagine, right? So that's kind of the step five of how to showcase your magical plan and conquer that. You want to conquer that hero's problem that they're having. And that leads to, step six and seven. I'm going to kind of lump those together. It's that magical plan should compel the hero to take action. And so in Haiti, what we would do is literally after we showcased like that orphanage, we would do a clear, concise, strong call to action. And what's cool about that is that because we're doing the other steps, we're launching with a villain and we're introducing that we understand, you know, we understand them and they understand us now. And there's a know, like, and trust. How we would do that in Haiti, by the way, is we would tell why we were passionate. I had a passion section in that. We'd tell why we were passionate to solve the problem, which helped the user or the viewer identify with us. And then by this point, what happens is you're literally like, you can just start to sell what you're offering because you've done all those other steps. it's all logical. It's laid out really organic. It strips the feeling out of being salesy and schmarmy because you're talking about passion. You're talking about solving a problem. You're talking about the emotions that come along with it. And if you do this wrong, it can come off as schmarmy, but if you're doing it from a place of authority and passion, it really isn't. But we would just make an offer to the issue. Right.
Right.
And I think like, if we're making a sales video, let me take a quick drink here. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Go for it.
If we're making a sales video for the attorney, and you know, this is, I think I chose the hardest topic because nobody trusts an attorney on TV, right? it's hard to do that. But I honestly think that this, if you followed this, if you track with this and you're authentic, it doesn't like it, it solves. I don't even have to say, I honestly think I actually have worked with attorneys and it works like wildfire. So I don't have to, you know, I don't have to like try to justify this. It actually works great. Mm-hmm. But they might provide something like, hey, if you want a free 30-minute consultation, I will show you that with our guidance, we can solve this issue. We can ease the stress off and get rid of those bill collectors pretty fast. We can rebuild your credit and quietly without, we do all this without letting everybody in the world know. Nobody even has to know this is happening. So you don't have the fear, the stigma of fear and embarrassment and all that stuff. So pick up the phone and give us a call. And this would assume maybe it's an online video, I guess, or maybe a commercial or something like that. Yeah. But that leads us to the final step. And I'll say it this way, that call to action always leads to a showdown with the problem. And that showdown, it ends in one of two ways. Failure or success, like tragic failure or success, like either the sheriff's going to die protecting his town, or he's going to kill the bad guy. It's going to end one way or the other. In Haiti, how I interpreted this was testimonials that would highlight the victory side of things. And that was gangbusters for us. I now know years later that the testimonial video, it's the highest return on your investment that you can make with a video. Like it's just, they're just gangbusters for, you get a return on those investments. But the last thing that we would do, like the step nine for the tragedy side, I've tested this. This isn't always the best way. In Haiti, we would just share the story of somebody still in need, but for sales videos and things like that, that I've made, we might say something like for the attorney, we might say something like, we'd poke at them a little bit. And what I mean by that is you might say something like, what are you waiting for another creditor to call? So you're poking at the failure like a little bit. And I'm not in love with that, but I need to test it more. In Haiti, it works well because you're able to take a story of somebody in need and then do the call to action again a second time. And, you know, so those are your nine steps. Well, I know that was super fast and I don't know if the attorney idea was the greatest, but I think it gives you some legs under it, how it's handled, how the attorney like idea dealing with like stigma of fear, friends and family finding out, we'll do it quietly, injecting language of like, we know that the loss of your home would produce tremendous amounts of stress. Not only if you lose your home, you're going to have credit issues, like all these things deal with the external problem leads to you know, my focus would be heavily on the internal emotions in that video because that's the truth of it. Not because I'm trying to just land business. It's because as an attorney who wants to deal in bankruptcy, if I hate that job, I should not be doing it. Mm-hmm. But if I love that and I love helping people, who knows why people go bankrupt? Like I could see myself being excited about being a bankruptcy attorney. Like if that's what I chose in life and I get to help somebody save their kids get to stay in their home, their lifelong home, like that would be crazy. Yeah. Like that would be awesome. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that goes back to the mentor and guide aspect of this whole thing, but there you go. There's the nine steps.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. I mean, it's I think that framework, like when you, and first off, let me start with this. I like the attorney example. I was able to, anytime I'm listening to somebody explain, the easier it is for me to visualize the concept, the more powerful it is. And I think the more it resonates. So, and I certainly was kind of like thinking about, you know, being in that position where you're in really bad financial issue, having financial issues. And it's like the internal, it's like, I feel embarrassed. I feel like a failure. I feel, as if scared in a lot of ways too. Like what's going to happen to my home? What's going to happen with my kid? There's all these emotions that kind of wrap around that. And that's the, that's what really gets people to kind of move in, yeah, in action. So, and then I love your, and I have never actually remember hearing this, is launching with the villain.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And thinking about like when it comes to people in business, excuse me, and they're launching some new product or new service, whatever that may be,
yep,
really kind of starting or leading with that villain that's in the picture, you know, whatever that problem is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is amazing, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing that. And
thanks.
Gosh, there's so much more that we're at the end of time right now. And I feel like, you know, especially with video, I want to say one thing before we kind of get to the end here. And this just speaks to anybody who is really like interested in getting involved in video. I want to make something very clear. Chris has a program, with Video Marketing Academy, or Video Creation Academy. Sorry. Video Creation Academy. And, Video Marketing Unleashed is the group, in the business. So Video Creation Academy, which is what I enrolled in. One thing I will say that you have just such a skill in, and something you've done really, really well, is taking something like creating video and making it very easy for the other person, for whoever is kind of going through it, to feel more approach. It makes it more approachable for them. Because I remember before I had gotten into Video Creation Academy, the thought of doing a video kind of gave me a little bit of anxiety, and I would push it off and push it off, and just getting in front of a camera, it was almost like there was a fear there, but the fear seemed to be more, it was kind of coming from a place of, lack of understanding of how to approach it, how to speak. I was like, I felt like I had to memorize things and I would just get stuck. And I think that like the way that your methodology is designed for creating video is really powerful for, especially that person who maybe doesn't have the budget to hire the big video production team to come in. And, you know, we're talking about creating easy videos that are powerful, filled with powerful story. And it goes back to your story about Haiti. It's like the video production, you know, and you actually helped make the video production great in your program, but you had mentioned, you're like, the video production was actually pretty bad, but it still performed really, really well because of the story that you had put into it. So there's something to be said about that. I mean, I've noticed too, like I was having a conversation recently with somebody about just putting out content. And cause I've been really like curious, like looking at like content that I put out, I've gotten far more intentional about what I'm putting out now. And I'll look at it, I'll look at the performance, and I'll look for specifically like, what's the movement that's occurred here? Like movement could be somebody hitting the like button. It could be people having conversations in your thread, you know, within your content. That's very different movement than if it's just somebody hits a like. Like there's more action there. And it's like, what gets people to that place of movement? And in fact, Chris, if you ever want to see, like, go to my personal profile and look at my comments, like you'll see, like I'll put out comments, literally we'll put no image, no graphic, no GIF, no nothing. It's literally just text, no meme or emojis or anything, just straight up text. And I really will think about kind of the story that I'm trying to tell in that text. And the more I can get into like some emotion pulling stories in that text, the engagement just performs so much better than anything else. And I think there's something to be said there, that the story piece of it and having that baked into your messaging gets far more movement in your content and whatever it is you're putting out there. If it's a video sales letter, I mean, cause there's all these different video types that you can produce. You talked about like a testimonial video, there's the brand documentary. So there's all these different video types.
There's six essential videos that most people are engaging in that have a return on your investment. When you go outside of them, it's less likely to convert, but
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you mind just sharing those real quick?
Yes. So you have how-to and quick tip videos. Those are gangbusters on things like YouTube for driving traffic. And then you got a brand documentary, also known as an About Us video. Simon Sinek is gave one of my favorite TED Talks of all time, and it's about why we express why we do what we do in our business. So it's the passion video. And I have a very distinct plan for that, how that ties to your call to action specifically. Then there's a free irresistible offer video, also known as a lead magnet. And we take PDFs and convert them into videos by being on camera with it. Like you can kind of, it's the know, like, and trust factor. A PDF can't give the know, like, and trust like you on video. So while you have a PDF, you can also put yourself on video talking about it and talking through the bullet points on it. Then you have, how many was that? I'm losing track. 1, 2, 3. Is that 3? And then you have testimonial video. And then you have absolutely a must video is the demonstration video. All these are a must video. Demonstration video. And then you have your sales video.
Gotcha.
Outside of that, you're not going to find, you know, how to quick tips would come under like an sort of a you know, educational video types. Outside of that, you know, I've been doing this for 18 years and not many videos will produce, you know, outside of those are your top highest return on your investment type videos right there. And when you stitch them together and you have call to actions that lead one to the other, for example, your brand documentary might have a call to action to go get the free download, the free video that you made. Mm-hmm. And then the free video at the end of that, you might have a testimonial video that you point to, or you might point to the demonstration video. The demonstration video will fall to your, it'll pitch to your sales page. And then your sales page will have a sales video. And it really is an ecosystem that's what Video Creation Academy does. It builds the sales funnel for you in that regard. It ties them all together.
So, well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, to know the different types of, yeah, I guess, mediums and vehicles that you can use for video specifically and how it can be used, I think is really helpful. So you've got the video types, but then, you know, going back to storytelling, I know you have a product called Story Scripts that people can get access to kind of help them implement, yeah, this whole storytelling framework that you have. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, I shared with you as a geek, like who did all the story structure stuff and plotted out the spreadsheets and all that. And I remained a big dork and I started a video production company, and that, you know, it's helped businesses generate tens of millions of dollars, literally, you know, time and time again. We've raised with this structure. And the reason I mentioned that, with that structure, I build my documentaries. That structure is scalable to 30-minute documentaries. And so I still do those fundraising documentaries. We're close to $100 million now in funds that we've raised for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And when I created Video Creation Academy, one of the first things I decided I wanted to do, was the first thing I made actually, was the Story Scripts training. And I wanted to assemble that for other people because I've had such wild success with it. Like literally my first business I grew, we were making about $10,000 a month within a month. We launched onto the scene on day one and we made $1,000 a day. It's because of this template. Like it was because this product, like that is now, it wasn't a product then, but it's because of this 9-step system that I've turned it into so that other people can walk through it and make their own sales videos and things like that. But the Story Scripts framework, it's called Story Scripts, and it's for a video sales, you know, your sales video. The 6th video type that I mentioned, mm-hmm, is your sales video, and it's one of the hardest to write of all the video types. So this framework helps talk you through it, and it's for what I do in the training is show you how to make a 60 to 90 second video that is your sales video. And again, it's scalable though. If you wanted it to be 4 or 5 minutes, it can be that. If you wanted to scale this into a 30-minute fundraising documentary, it could scale to that as well. The bullet points would still work. You just expand each section out from 2 sentences to 4 paragraphs. And you know what I mean? So you just expand it as you want. Mm-hmm. But in other words, it inflates very well. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. It talks you through the 9 bullet points that we went through here today. And then it guides you through. I write 2 scripts on screen, so you see exactly why I made the choice I did, the sentences I write, and I talk through very detail, like why I did that. And it comes with a the the story scripts framework is in a PDF, and it walks you through step by step, one piece at a time, just very thoroughly and very clearly what you should do and why. And so you know why you're making the choices, and you're not just trying to mimic what I'm doing. You're inheriting and interpreting and applying it. So I'm not a teacher who likes to try to get you to copy me verbatim. I want you to process and go, what is that emotional thing that your viewer is going through? And we focus deeply on that aspect, because if you can get them to understand that you get them emotionally, then that's where the know, like, and trust is born in such a fast time. But yeah, that's a brief overview of what the story script training is. It's that Hollywood kind of framework that where Hollywood films have grossed billions. I took it, I converted it for nonprofit use. Then when I launched my first business, converted it for that first business. And I have never looked back. This is 18 years ago, and I'm sitting here running a business, helping my wife run hers. She started a couple months ago. She had a $13,000 day recently. Wow. It's all this stuff. I mean, it's all this stuff, man. Yeah. It's all this. It's story, 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 story. Story mixed with video is insanity. It's like so good.
Well, so getting access to your story scripts formula, we'll make sure to link that up on your podcast page. So okay. Anybody who wants to go and see this interview, taking out, because as people know, I take the interviews and I also kind of pull out these frameworks into easy to digest videos, which is ironic because we're talking about video here, and creating that for you so you have a place to go and learn more about what we had talked about through this interview, but also to be able to access that story scripts offer that you have. Just go to www.introspectivepodcast.com/Chris Cunningham, and that is spelled C-R-I-S. There is no H in Chris. So C-R-I-S Cunningham, C-U-N-N-I-N-G-H-A-M. Did I get that right, Chris, on the spelling?
You did. There's no H in Chris. We've said that three times now, you viewer, and you're still going to type that H.
I'm going to do? I'm just going to go ahead and get introspectivepodcast.com/Chris Cunningham with an H and just point it at the page, because you know this can happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Go ahead and no matter how many times I tell people not to put the H, they put the H and they look at me like, oh, I didn't. And they did. It's so funny. It's a funny thing. I will say this too. I'm going to put a special deal together for your viewers. And that way they get a better rate on that too. They can look at it and, you know, it's obviously a product I sell. So yeah. I have a business wrapped around all this stuff, but I'll put together a not like jaw dropping kind of knock it out of the park deal for them. So
awesome.
You and I can talk a little bit about that, but I'll make sure it's a hefty discount for them.
Well, and on top of that, and I haven't figured out what this could be right now, but I'll up the ante and I'll throw something in there too for anybody who goes in. And,
ooh, what is it? Can I have?
I don't know yet.
Do I get it?
Okay, it's a secret. You're just gonna have to wait and see. You have to go to the website and make sure if you put in an H in Chris Cunningham. If you put an H in Chris, you're not getting it. That's the deal. You have to spell it correctly if you want this thing that nobody knows what it is yet, but there's going to be another.
So you've literally just given a reward to someone because they spelled my name right?
No, it's a perk. We'll just call it a perk. We're going to give a perk.
Okay.
trying to incentivize correct spelling of Chris Cunningham on the podcast.
Awesome.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, that sounds great. And again, it's introspectivepodcast.com/Chris Cunningham with no H. And there again, I park everything there. It's Chris's home in my home of Introspective Podcast, where you've got this interview, you got the videos, you have, you know, show notes, you have links to the things that he's doing. And the last question, Chris, before we sign off here is, how can people connect with you?
They can connect with me at support@videocreationacademy.com. That's the best way. Chris Cunningham, spelled with no H. On social, you can find me there. I'm probably the only one. Maybe there's another, but without the H. So, not me just being clever, by the way. My mom did that. All right, I'm not just being clever.
I thought you changed your name to Chris with
no. No, 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 no. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for making me look bad. No, my mom did that.
She was like, what should we name him? Chris with no H. That's gonna, and then people will misspell his names in website links from here on out.
Unfortunately, that's a story for another day, but there's a long story why there's no H in my name.
Well, for another day, I would love to hear that story, because I always find it interesting, like how people come up with names for their kids. And I'm actually named after John Wayne, I guess Big Jake or something, for John Wayne. My mom told me this. I never really watched John Wayne, or that was,
yeah,
Duke, I think. Was that the name of the show or the old?
I don't know much about him.
Yeah, I don't either. I just know I'm named after him.
I believe his real name is Marion, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good to know.
That's a line in my film Squat. We're talking about John Wayne, and that comes up, Marion. I didn't write that. I wrote this. I co-wrote it, but my writing partner wrote this bit with about John Wayne. It's pretty funny.
Awesome. But, hey, when is that coming out, by the way?
So Squat is in post-production right now. We still have special effects. It's a sci-fi comedy, and we have special effects, music, audio mixing, color correction. But we are, in fact, we're editing all this week. So hopefully we get a picture lock. They call that picture lock in the biz, where you finish editing and then it goes to everybody else. All the special effects, audio, music, and the score is starting to come in. We're having bits of the score come in. It's awesome. So good. Weird and fun.
That's exciting. Well, keep me posted on that when that gets out, and any way we can support, just let me know.
Awesome. Thanks.
So, all right. Well, Chris, thanks for being here. And for my listeners, thanks for tuning in for today's Daily Deep Dive here on the Introspective Podcast. And I will see you tomorrow on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.